veteran, so it's important for me to remember that. When I was asked to anytime I'm asked to speak at a meeting, the first you got a little apprehension. The first thing I ask is, "Well, what step is it on?" So when somebody says step one, you're like, "All right, step one, that's great. I could tell you how I wrecked cars and motorcycles and got girls to dump me." You know what I mean? That's a pretty easy thing to talk about. But the truth is, I did all of those things, and I won't give you a drastically a long dialogue, but I'll qualify. We're on step one, so I'll qualify, you know, how I've come to earn my seat in this room. I like this reading. It explains that there are, this reading and others in the beginning of this book explain that there are a variety of different sort of alcoholics, and that at some point in their lives, alcoholics have gone past a point where they can choose whether they're going to drink or not. I can tell you without a doubt, firmly, that I never had that choice. The very first time I ever had a drink and got drunk was with a couple of guys. We had a six-pack of Budweisers and a pint of Tanza Liquors brandy. Tanza Liquors was a liquor store in the bottom of the Ave in Fall River, Mass. And the stuff was their store's brand name brandy. You had to shake it to get the syrup to mix up with the alcohol. That's how good, that's how top shelf that stuff was. And I had a couple shots of that and a beer and a half, I think, maybe. And I had a healthy buzz, and a star was born, let me tell you. Because I was an uneasy kid, and I did not always fit in very well. And for whatever reasons, and I always had that sort of vibe where I was constantly trying to fit myself into something that I thought other people wanted me to be, so that I could feel comfortable in situations, and it never happened. In retrospect, it never happened, and I had nothing to compare that to, so I just thought that's how life was, until I had a couple of drinks. And instantly got the ease and comfort that came from that. And like I said, a star was born. And from that point forward, I pretty much drank deliberately every time I picked up a drink or a drug or anything that would get me to that place where I felt more comfortable with my surroundings. And that included lots of different things. And I mean, at that time, I was an excellent student in a Catholic high school, a local Catholic high school. Things were looking up, you know, from that perspective. And from that day on, I think I was a junior in high school. You know, I barely graduated from high school. Within a year after graduating from high school, I was homeless. I was homeless on the streets of New Bedford. That's not an awesome town to be homeless in the dead of winter. I had a car. That's all I had. It was an 82 Dodge Omni. That's all I had to my name. I couldn't put gas in it. But so I did what a lot of guys do in that situation. I joined the Marines. They are not as didn't care too much about that sort of thing. You know what I mean? I had a high school education. I could pass the ASVAB, so they were happy to have me. So on the bus I went to, on the plane I went to Paris Island, and where I got an education on how to drink excessively. I certainly can't badmouth the Marine Corps. I got a lot of things from it. I had a knack for making lots of friends in the Marine Corps, and especially people of some rank. So I got covered for a lot. There are lots of things I did in the service that I could have been kicked out for. And but I was a popular guy, so they kept me around. But I don't know if that did me any favors, because I left the Marine Corps with as bad a drinking problem as I had when I went in it, and things got no better for me. So somehow I managed to live a life concurrently with being an incredibly heavy drinker. I got a college degree. I had some help from the GI Bill. I was able to get jobs, and I had money, but by the end, the jackpots were just too impactful and too frequent to ignore anymore. And by the time I was in my 40s, I was still getting in fist fights and getting arrested and getting in car accidents and getting dumped by girlfriends. And, you know, I had recognized at that point that this wasn't the kind of life I wanted to have, you know. And my father had gotten sober when I was younger. So I knew that the program existed, and, you know, I would go to my mother passed away when I was a kid, so he would drag my sister and I to these big AA meetings, you know, and there'd be the smoke in the halls, you know what I mean? I remember that in the late 70s and early 80s. And I'd go to the Alateen meetings and the Al-Anon meetings, and fat lot of good that did for me, because all of the information I soaked up in there got me right here as a proud member of Alcoholics Anonymous. So anyhow, but when I was finally felt like I was done with that, or that I could no longer drink safely, that's an understatement, I decided to try AA again, and I'd bounced in and out of AA a few times. I couldn't go more than a couple of weeks without drinking. It was just very difficult. I'm guilty of all of the things that this reading talks about, you know, convincing myself that I was making too large a matter of a small matter, and that things weren't as bad as they seem, and they are. If you're an alcoholic, the opposite is true. They are worse than, things are worse than they seem. I'll say that to any of you new guys. If you think it's not as bad as it seems, it is. It's actually worse than it seems. It always is. Because I thought things were, you know, kind of bad, but maybe just a couple weeks off, I'll be all right. You know what I mean? I'll just get past the Irish flu and back on the road I'll be. And once I start to get a little bit of clarity and I look back on what my life was like, things were real bad. There was nobody that wanted to talk to me. Nobody wanted to be around me. And so I carried myself into AA meetings. But I have to say that, you know, I tried to go to a meeting every day for the first 40, 50, 60 days, whatever it was. Things were a little blurry in those days. And I'd go to these speaker meetings, and I'd try, step meetings were weird. They were just like, they would just read the step, and people would go around the room and talk about the step that had get their one day chip the day before, you know what I mean? Or something at some other meeting, you know what I mean? Like, what, you know what I mean? I couldn't, you know, I needed something with a little more, you know, some depth and weight. And I remember being in this speaker meeting, which is a good meeting, and I met some nice people there. Where somebody said, I don't care if your ass falls off, you pick it up and you take it to a meeting. And I instantly caught the resentment against the a-hole that said that. Whoever came up with that is an asshole. You know what I mean? I thought, like, I'm living in a one-bedroom, basically studio apartment above the bar that I tend bar at. Right? No one wants to talk to me. I just got dumped. I'm driving a truck that couldn't pass a safety inspection in a third world country, and somebody's telling me to take my broken ass to a meeting. I'm like, this isn't gonna, I'm gonna need, you know, I thought maybe this is, I gotta go see a psychiatrist, or like things are, you know what I mean? Like, and even 6-7 weeks without a drink, there was a lawnmower going, there was just so much noise in my head. I was unmanageable. And so, as luck would have it, I stumbled into a meeting in Somerset that I never go to and haven't been to since. It was a men's meeting. It was a real, real kind of a tough guy kind of meeting. And there was a guy speaking there. He was on there on a commitment from a meeting out here in the Cape. And he had an Irish accent. I have some family in Ireland. My mother's family's from Ireland, so I made a point of introducing myself to him and saying hello, and he could see right through me. And he said, you're a new guy, you're just coming around? And I said, yeah, I'm just like, you know, 6-7 weeks or whatever. And I was shivering and shaking like no tomorrow, man. I was in tough shape. And he said, there's a meeting out on Cape Cod that can help you with that feeling you got in your gut right now. And that hit me like a bucket of cold water, because that's the first impactful or meaningful thing anybody had said to me in all the times I had bounced in and out of any AA meetings. The guy saw right through me. And I said, so where's that meeting? He said, well, it's at St. Francis Xavier Church in Hyannis. It's a men's meeting. It's on Thursday nights. Why don't you come on down? I'm like, all right, I'm there. You know what I mean? And And sure enough, I showed up to that meeting. I was convinced I was going to go back out. I really was. I remember telling friends of mine, I was like, they got this, but I'm going to try this one meeting out in the Cape. And I went down into that basement, and what I heard down there was an entirely different thing. You know what I mean? That was there was a message in there that had depth and weight. That meeting was this meeting, and I became a member of that meeting. I met my sponsor that night. I remember the first guy that I met when I walked in that meeting was, his name was Hugh. Some of you guys have been around know Huey. And he said, he smiled, and he said, "All right, you new guy?" He said, "Drinking's not fun anymore? Come on in here, man. Come on over here and sit right next to me." And when it came his turn to speak, he said, "Listen, pal, I don't know what to tell you, but if you're sitting in this room listening to me talk, you're screwed." And he didn't use the word screwed. And I thought, I just got a vibe from that group that things were going to be all right. This was what I wanted. I wanted to be like these guys had some self-confidence, and the stories they were telling were genuine. And so that's what I wanted to do. And I got with that group. And so this group here is my original group. It's the group that I got sober with, and I'm stoked to be here. And I met my sponsor that meeting. We talked about step one. And my angle on step one is that before step one, you're nowhere. You know, you're nowhere. You don't know what's up or down. You don't even know you have a problem. That's a terrible place to be. And like I said, things are worse than they seem. You know what I mean? They're not better than they seem. And if you're anything like me anyway. And but once you can... once you can get to a place, if it gets bad enough, and you can get to a place where you can say that, you know, I can admit that I'm powerless over alcohol, you've established a place. You can move from a place, right? I remember the movie Ghostbusters when at the end of the movie he says, "Where do these stairs go?" And Bill Murray says, "They go up." You know what I mean? You're in a place. You can go somewhere from step one. And so that had happened. But what I couldn't deal with was the fact that I had no way to manage the insanity that was happening between my ears when I didn't have a drink. Because, you know, I could no longer use my medicine. That's a terrible place to be when you have a salve and you can't use that salve anymore, because every time you use it, you get in trouble. But if I don't have it, then my life is unmanageable. And there's two levels of doom in there, man. You know what I mean? Like, that's a horrible place. And it was explained to me that dash in that sentence has a meaning there. So we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, dash, that our lives had become unmanageable. My life was unmanageable before I ever picked up a drink. I had no idea. I had absolutely no idea. Until I started drinking and got ease and comfort from booze and drugs. Drugs are part of my story, too. But that's a strange place to be in. But like I said, I mean, it's a place to move forward. And that's where I found myself within a few weeks of becoming a member of this group. So I would say to anybody, if you're new, I say this to all the guys I meet, like new, I can tell new guys come into the meeting. We have a men's meeting pattern exactly after this meeting on Wednesday night in Fall River. And there's Fall River's a tough town, and we get some guys down there that, you know, kind of aren't sure if they need the program. And I say the same thing to all of them. If you came into a basement, church basement, on a Wednesday, you know what I mean, to listen to me talk, I mean, things are worse than they seem, pal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? Like, if you're anything like me too, like I always tried to find the AA meetings that were out of the way where I wouldn't know anybody because, you know, I'd be embarrassed. You're already, you know, things are not okay on Piccadilly Square. You know what I mean? Like, you're already past the point of having to, answer the question, you know, are you powerless over alcohol? Is your life unmanageable? So I know that's hard to break through to new guys. It was hard to break through to me. But, you know, coming to this meeting, I became convinced of that. And I became convinced that there was a solution to that problem because of the people that I met in this group in particular. had something that I wanted, and I wanted it desperate enough to stay around. And I did. And I gotta tell you guys, like, I mean, the guy that walked in here, you know, almost 7 years ago, was an absolute mess. No one wanted to be around me. I mean, I could barely hang on to a job. I was driving a piece of crap. And I made all the money in the world, and I had nothing. I had no dough. Like, I mean, I made tons of money, and I had nothing to show for it. I had no money in a savings account. I lived paycheck to paycheck. I was an absolute mess. And today, I have a house in Rochester. I'm married. I have a 3-year-old daughter at home. My wife is pregnant with our second. You know what I mean? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. Like, I can't even possibly imagine. I could not possibly have imagined that that could be my life from the place where I was when I walked in this door. And all I had to do was shake a guy's hand and ask him to be my sponsor. A little bit like asking a guy to go on a date. I know, it's a little weird, you know what I mean? But all you got to do is shake somebody's hand and say, listen, man, I need some help. I need some help. And there's nothing wrong with that in this room, man. This is a safe place to ask that question, because virtually everybody that's got any sobriety in this room has had to ask that question to somebody else. I need some help, man. That's all you got to do. And then do what you're told. And after that, I'm telling you, man, if this thing doesn't work for you, we'll refund your misery. You know what I mean? But it worked for me. I hope it works for you, too. Thanks very much for letting me share.
Good job, man.